Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel service. Please turn with me to page 152 in the front part of your hymn book, and you will find the prayer known as a collect, number 43, on the bottom of that page. And let us rise and join together in unison in this prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, grant us, we beseech you, by your Holy Spirit, that he may strengthen our hearts and confirm our faith and hope in your grace and mercy, so that although we have reason to fear because of our conscience, our sin, and our unworthiness, we may nevertheless, with the woman of Canaan, hold fast to your grace, and in every trial and temptation, find you a present help and refuge. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is the standard gospel reading for this week. It is taken from the 15th chapter of Matthew. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was a little boy, my father was the dean of students here on campus. And my father was a very gentle-hearted, nice man. One night, he was locking up the gymnasium after a basketball game, the old gym over here, the Ron Young gym, and we were in the parking lot, which was gravel at the time, and I remember I was in the back seat, my brother was up in the front seat, and my dad started the car, turned on the headlights, and in front of us, there were about six teenagers, kind of rough-looking guys, sitting on some bricks behind the gymnasium. And my dad turned to my brother and said, "Do you recognize any of those guys?" He said, "No, they weren't Bethany students." And my dad said, "Watch this." And he started the car, revved the engine, revved and revved the engine, and did what they call a neutral drop. When you drop it into drive, you can't do it anymore, I don't think. And just went tearing toward that pile of bricks with all those teenagers on it and turned the high beams on, and they ran like a flock of chickens. And I thought, wow, this is not my usual dad. Pretty uncharacteristic of him. But he knew that there'd been a rash of vandalism on the campus recently, and that was his way of dealing with it. I don't know if that was the best way, but it was his way of dealing with it. There may be times when you see your parents or someone you know and you think you know so well do something that appears to be so uncharacteristic for them. We see that with Jesus in our text for today. So often Jesus, when he deals with people, especially this woman in her great need, he's so gentle and tender-hearted to them. But the way Jesus seems to dismiss this woman just seems so out of character, so non-Jesus-esque, if you will. A little bit behind the story here, this woman, we're told, is a Canaanite woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon. Those were some seaport cities. Today it would be modern-day Lebanon. The ancient city of Tyre was one that had been captured by Alexander the Great about 332 BC. He built, maybe you've heard the great story, he built a land bridge out to them and had 250-foot movable towers that went out into the water from which his archers could shoot down and capture the city. That land bridge is still there today. It was about a half mile out from because the city was out on an island. But those cities were known for being horribly pagan. And many of the Canaanite religions of Jesus' day were anti-moral, you might say. But somehow, we don't know exactly how, somehow this woman had come to faith in Christ. Somehow she had come to find out about him and knew him as the son of David, which shows that she had some knowledge of the Old Testament scripture. And she comes and pleads with him to now help her with her daughter's situation. And as we look at this text, let's look at both Jesus' response and the woman, because there really are two different types of, if you will, hunting that are going on in this text in front of us. Jesus is hunting for faith. He's hunting for faith in maybe a way that seems kind of strange. He's even hunting for it in this woman who comes from a pagan land. If you've ever seen the TV show Biggest Loser, there are times when they bring the cameras into the workout room and one of the coaches is working with their participant that they're responsible for, and they're not looking at anybody else, but they're screaming and yelling at the person, and you would think that's their worst enemy in the room. And yet, if you really know their intent is to help this person and to find inside of them a persistence that will help them get through this so that they can finally achieve the goals that they desire. Martin Luther says this about Jesus in the text before us. Christ, like a hunter, exercises and chases faith in his followers in order that it may become strong and firm. And you can see that in Jesus' final comments to her, what his intent really is. Notice the tremendous admiration that he has for this woman and for her great faith, for her determination and her persistence. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to serve someone who, as their pastor, who earlier in our lives, we had been roughly about the same age in college together. And I always knew this woman as a believer, but now she had terminal cancer and was about to die. And I got to be her pastor during those many months as she slowly faded away at a very young age. And it was just absolutely amazing to see how strong her faith grew during that time and the great influence it had on others because of that. How God chooses to deal with us may at times seem to contradict this gracious, loving, all-merciful, kind-hearted God that we know. And sometimes that baffles us as believers in him. Our feelings, our emotions, our intellect, how we view our situation and what's going on in our lives, other friends of ours, the way the world would look at things, all of that sometimes can seem to contradict what we know from Scripture about God being this gracious and loving God. But the master of all spiritual matters knows precisely how each one of us needs to be handled. He knows precisely what timing is best for you and me with all the matters of our earthly life. So Christ is hunting for this persistent faith. Let's look at the woman then. This Canaanite woman is hunting for the gracious promises of God. She's looking for a gracious God. And it's tough to find it in this crowd. It's tough to find a gracious God in this crowd. The Holy Ghost has somehow, in her life, created faith in her heart to believe and trust in her Savior and to know his promises. You can hear that in her cry of faith. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And she just will not be denied. Even though the crowds are pushing her away, even though the disciples of Jesus try to get rid of her, even though Jesus' own words seem so negative and demeaning to her, nevertheless, and probably even though her own intellect and maybe her own feelings and emotion hearing all of this may have been telling her, this guy wants nothing to do with me. Where is this gracious God? Nevertheless, the faith the Holy Spirit creates in her heart just will not be denied, will not give up, will not be denied, and must find a gracious God, must find the gospel. And she does, in the strangest place. Jesus, in this comment about dogs and crumbs at the table, leaves for her a morsel of his grace on the floor. And in the humility of her faith, she's willing to go down there and eat that morsel off the floor. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She hears him almost saying no, but her faith knows he must say yes. She won't even listen to Christ to try to dissuade her from her faith. And that's exactly what Jesus is looking for in this text. The Holy Spirit has put this in the Bible on purpose because people like us so often can look to our emotions, we can look to how things are going in our life, we can look to the fact that relationships fall apart, we can look to the trouble that we have to endure and health problems and everything else, and all the fears that are out there, and we can sometimes wonder, where is this wonderful God that I learn about in Scripture? But God does not send you to all those things. He doesn't send you to your intellect and to your observation of things. He doesn't even tell you to listen to your friends. He says, go back to my word. This is where you know me as a gracious God. Go back to my son who went to the cross for you so that you could come to heaven someday. And that word of God, who is the word, that son of God who is the word made flesh, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Trust that. Amen. May we again say a prayer for little Matthew Rusted, the infant son of our Andrew Rusted on our staff. He and his little twin brother Isaac, recently born, very premature. And Matthew is improving, so let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the blessings you've given us of the amazing medical advances that are now being used to protect the young life of little Matthew. We pray that you would continue to be with his doctors, and if it is your will, grant him a full recovery and development in life. Give patience and faith to his parents, that they may trust your gracious promises that you will work all things for the good of those who've been called according to your purpose. Grant all of us a firm faith in your gracious promises. We pray it all in our Lord's name. Amen.